Alright, so I bit the Disney Plus bullet.
Ooh.
Have you guys...
Mandalorian?
Yeah, I checked out... It's alright, but...
Nope.
You don't have this yet?
Nope.
Alright.
Your kids don't want Disney Plus?
They don't know that it's out.
They should know. Such is life. But there's a show hosted by Kristen Bell, who I know Patrick is a fan. Yeah, yes. Patrick's in. It's called Encore.
Okay.
And they bring back high school productions of musicals. Like 20 years later, they bring the cast back together to recreate the original production.
Ooh.
It's pretty hilarious. Like, imagine your, you know, now 40-something self reenacting something that you did when you were 18.
Nope.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, let's see. Things I did when I was 18 that I could imagine myself doing now. You know, I ran track in high school. I cannot imagine doing that now. All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning.
Oh.
This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
Hey, Patrick.
And Katie Phillips.
Hi, Patrick.
Surprise. It's a podcast.
I've been wondering what we were doing here.
What this microphone's all about.
Is that what we do? Is that what we talk about?
We hope our listeners had a happy Thanksgiving. We are pre-recording this. We're recording this before Thanksgiving, so we can't check in with ours.
Yeah.
But it was probably pretty good.
Mine was great.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that I had a great Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah. Right. We're all assuming we all had a great Thanksgiving. So,
mm-hmm. Patrick had so good to chow, and, you know.
In a week from now, we'll be like, we'll give you the real scoop on how our Thanksgivings were.
Yeah.
Yes. On who had the best.
You want the over-under on how accurate our Thanksgiving productions are? We can make a little bet here.
Okay, well, I'm willing to make a bet on it, so let's see what we got.
I don't even know how to bet on this. I don't know what this would look like.
We'll take the over.
Okay.
You think your Thanksgiving is going to exceed your expectations?
How many items from your Thanksgiving menu will your daughter eat?
One.
Okay.
I already got that nailed down.
Fair enough.
She might eat a roll, but doubtful.
Okay, one. All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got some news here.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Wow, dropping the ball.
Katie's on Thanksgiving break already. Yeah. She's mentally ready to go.
So it is technically Advent season, but not at the time of recording.
We're pre-Adventing.
Pre-Advent, yes. Texas family told to take down snowman because it is too early for Christmas decorations. Yes.
Where in Texas is
wait. Okay, read more.
All right.
Need more
information. This is from my home city, San Antonio, Texas.
All right.
All right. So a resident of the Canyon Springs subdivision in San Antonio told her family decorated their front lawn November 1st with a large inflatable snowman, reindeer, and Santa helicopter. Days later...
Santa helicopter? Like inflatable helicopter? Or
I believe it's inflatable, okay. Days later, the HOA sent out a letter saying the festive display was a violation and the snowman needed to be removed.
Only the snowman?
Bah humbug.
I don't know. You know, the details here are don't have everything here. If, like, the reindeer's cool.
Right.
But
we're totally cool because we can hunt reindeer. It's fine. But we
helicopters
get the snowman out of here.
We like helicopters, but the snowman...
It's got to go.
Got to go.
Okay, so...
Bah humbug, you say?
No. Yes.
Come on. Give Thanksgiving its due.
Sure. We can still celebrate Christmas and have a Christmas... I mean,
you don't
still celebrate Thanksgiving and have a Christmas tree.
No other holiday requires us to look at things for 2 months in advance of it being celebrated.
Sure. Look, I am actually with Pastor David on this one. There are some lunatics in my neighborhood.
The Woodlands has already started decorating for Christmas.
They were decorated November 1st as well.
They're decorating for Christmas because it's the end of November and they want to be able to turn everything on right after Thanksgiving, which is appalling, but fine. This is like November 1st. Come on, people.
Yeah.
Let's have a heart.
It is weird.
Halloween and Thanksgiving their time.
Driving home, like, at night, and, like, one house is, like, brightly lit up, like, it's on display on the street. It looks like they're crazy people over there.
Imagine if, like, on...
There are Christmas lights out right now over where we live.
Imagine December 26th, me putting out Valentine's Day stuff everywhere.
That's your deal. You can do that if you
but
want.
You would,
if you had an
you
inflatable...
You'd say I'm crazy.
Valentine's
Day.
I mean, look at you in this... Spirit.
Oh, okay. I appreciate the positivity.
Aww. You are a liar.
Well, she has reason. She's pregnant, and baby's due November or December 25th. And so they wanted to make sure their other kids could celebrate the holiday season fully before pregnancy.
What?
Well, fully before pregnancy would have been
25th.
Like 9 months
well,
ago.
Well, fully before you know, baby's born. Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to say this. If these are inflatables, if you're really that worried about it, just leave them uninflated on your yard and then inflate them when the time comes. Like, this is not rocket science. We can figure this out. Mm-hmm. And B, You've got to have some.
Okay,
some
so if you're like, I don't like the Christmas decorations too early, but a deflated snowman in somebody's front yard, that's fine. Hey, like this, like
it's your
this
yard.
Puddle of snowman in their yard.
It's your yard.
I mean, it's Texas, so
you do what you want.
But don't inflate it.
Right, because then I have to see it.
Your yard, do what you want, except the things you want to do.
Well, here is the other thing. I'm also going to say, you know,
an Adventist.
I would not go. That's a different thing. I would not go around and like tell people to take down their Christmas decorations. Okay. I would just silently drive past judging them for having their Christmas decorations out.
Yeah, you don't want them listening to Christmas music. It's Advent music.
Right.
Time.
I'm not gonna like go to the HOA and protest and say these people are need to take like that. Uh-huh. I'm not gonna do that.
Right.
But I am going to silently judge them for having them out.
So at least you're not gonna stand up for your moral and religious.
No, I'm gonna sit down and have a beer.
I would tell you right now, I would have everything up for Christmas if it weren't for my husband. So
okay,
he's keeping me in line. He's like, no, not until after Thanksgiving.
It's good to know that Ryan keeps you in check.
And
from
I'm
time
like,
to time.
But it's so come on, Thanksgiving's so late this year. It's, he's like,
it's the same Thursday. It is every year, fourth Thursday of November.
It's
every single
really
year,
really late. That's all.
Okay, so at best, it's a couple days later than other Thanksgivings,
right?
So, but you need that tree up.
I do. It just makes me happy.
All right. Well, we have nothing up. We also have a infant in our house, so who knows what this Christmas will look like. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he's too young to do anything with it. He won't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
So when Shane was an infant, so he was, I don't know, 9 months old, eight months old at Christmas. And I just laid him down on the floor underneath the tree to look at the lights. And he was like, I'm like, right? Isn't that cool?
There you go. Sophia started walking at our Christmas tree.
Okay.
She was a little over a year, and she had an ornament on the tree. Mm-hmm. She'd been standing and wobbling for a while, and then all of a sudden, she went doop, 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 and like walked right over and grabbed the ornament off the tree.
That's
like,
awesome.
All right, gotta move those ornaments now.
Yep.
Sure. Like a cat. Uh-huh. Just keep moving them up.
Yes. Dang it.
All right, let's talk about a little bit about Chick-fil-A. Are you familiar?
What is this?
I'm sorry. I've never heard of it before. Yes, the best chicken sandwich ever.
You know, hey, we went through the chicken wars earlier on a previous podcast.
Yeah,
yes. Chick-fil-A stops giving to Salvation Army, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, amid LGBTQ protests. So this is relatively recently. They have announced that they are no longer donating to these organizations through their Chick-fil-A charity.
The Chick-fil-A Foundation.
Yes. Are you familiar with Chick-fil-A has had a history of like backlash with the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a brief history. Many, many years ago, they donated through their foundation, through the charity, to more politically active groups.
Sure.
That were, you would say, are directly, you know, for traditional marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In an interview, their chairman said, like, they support traditional marriage. And then some backlash happened. Protests happened in the early 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
They halted all those things, but still gave to some of these charities, including the Salvation Army, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which aren't quite as politically minded charities, but still have issues, especially when it comes to gay and lesbian issues.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've decided that they're no longer doing that as well, due to the backlash that they've received. Probably due to some financial concerns.
Yeah. At least the piece that I saw from one of their spokespeople said, you know, they had longstanding commitments with these organizations, and those had both expired, I guess. Like, you know, you kind of set an arrangement if we're going to fund something through a certain period of time, and they've reached the end, and so they're kind of not, they're not renewing that process.
Yeah.
Like, we're just severing our ties. So it's not like they're cutting off in the middle of something, but they've reached a natural end, and they're just not continuing it. Which is kind of a helpful helpful.
So they just didn't call up Salvation Army and be like, "We're done."
Right.
Click.
Right.
Right.
They didn't send the cow over there, you know, their mascot.
Right.
To
they did not do that.
Give them an eat more chicken
sign. I mean, maybe that is how they delivered the notification. I don't know. I'm not privy to that process.
Maybe they sent over a party tray.
Yeah.
You know, just take some bad news. Here's some chicken.
Here's some chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Also, we're not funding your program anymore.
You know, any bad news over a tray of chicken nuggets is a little
sure.
more palatable.
Yeah, it's eased. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Chick-fil-A president and COO Tim Tassopoulos, I have no idea if I pronounced that right.
That's all right.
There's no question. We know that. As we go into new markets, we need to be clear about who we are. And there's a lot of articles and newscasts about Chick-fil-A, and we thought we needed to be clear about our message. So this is one of the things that they're kind of putting out there. They want to be clear about their message. They are the third largest fast food chain. Did you know that?
I did not.
Interesting. The countries. They're not
everywhere. United States is third largest fast food chain. Yes.
Behind McDonald's.
Behind McDonald's, number one. Number two.
Taco Bell.
I was gonna guess Wendy's.
It's not Wendy's.
Burger King.
It's actually probably what you would not really. I would not truly consider fast food.
Tim Hortons.
It's Starbucks.
Oh, Starbucks. No,
Tim Hortons.
I don't know. I don't consider it fast food. I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
Tim Hortons is a coffee thing.
Yeah, Starbucks. Okay, you're thinking, oh, it's a coffee place.
But it's like coffee and donuts. And like,
you didn't go with Starbucks. Okay.
It's more like a Dunkin'.
Yeah, it's more like
okay.
a Dunkin'. Yeah.
Okay. Well, America runs on Dunkin'. All right. Well. Chick-fil-A has been blocked from opening new locations in San Antonio and Buffalo airports this year over criticisms for joining an organization with a traditional Christian view of sexuality. And
all things we talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, and it's faced same reasons from politicians in Boston, San Francisco, Chicago. They recently opened up a new franchise in England, and the organization said, like, when the lease expires, we're not renewing it for Chick-fil-A. So they are maybe potentially financially motivated to make a clear stance on where they stand. So what do we think about this? Chick-fil-A has had a storied history and relationship with the gay community in the past. There's been protests. Now they're cutting off their funding to the Salvation Army, FCA, that's Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So what are your initial thoughts when you hear these things?
I'll be interested to kind of hear a reaction from the LGBTQ community. Those who have been actively kind of protesting might be too strong a word, but actively pursuing a change from them to see if this is the kind of change that they were looking for, see if that's substantive. You know, something else that I read said that the foundation is going to focus now in kind of three areas of homelessness, hunger, and something else. I don't remember the third. Mm-hmm. But so they're going to have like intentional areas of work that they want to be involved in rather than just general funding, which is kind of what they've been doing up to this time. And so it'll be interesting to see if that's actually something that people view as a change, or if this is something that people view as a cosmetic cosmetic shift that frankly is driven by money. And I mean, I guess there are worse reasons to change than something that's driven by money. It seems but I don't know.
I agree.
I think probably the stank is there on Chick-fil-A already. I don't know if this is really going to do much one way or the other.
Right.
I think people have probably already made up their minds. And this is where it is. And I don't know if they're really going to get back people into the fold that said years ago, we're done with Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is interesting because on one side, I mean, if you don't want to eat Chick-fil-A, don't eat Chick-fil-A. That's fine. You do you. But at the same time, it's like this is the system working, right? You know, people said we're going to use our dollars to try to change a corporate mindset. And a corporation finally said, okay, we can't bear this financial burden anymore. So we need to change. We need to change the way we're using these resources that are coming in. And so in one sense, this is the system working. You know, nobody had to burn down a Chick-fil-A. I don't think there was even a lawsuit that was involved in this. And, you know, the system worked. People expressed their opinion and a corporation responded according to the way the market shifts. That's free market capitalism, kind of, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully no economists listen to this, so they can't correct me on this.
Yeah. I'm sure all the economists are listening to this, you know. We've got a big economist sub-demographic of our listener base. Yeah. I think that this is an interesting thing. You know, I would be right there with many of the protesters. You know, I eat a Chick-fil-A relatively frequently. I don't know. If you're willing
to. Fess up. How often?
Yes.
I don't know, once a week, once every other week, you know, probably something like that. You know, at least twice a month is probably what I would say. And I also, you know, try to be a supporter of LGBTQ issues. And so it's hard, you know, to be in these places. I don't know of any direct instance where like a Chick-fil-A franchise or corporate had direct persecution to a person based on their race, gender, religion, or sexuality, or refused to promote or hire in these things. But it is kind of this weird thing of like, a business is somewhat associated with other businesses or other churches or charities, and that becomes a line in the sand for people. And so I think it is kind of these interesting, like these purity tests that we kind of place on our politics are not even placed on our businesses themselves. That like, oh, this business had a connection to this one, which has a connection to this one, which has a connection to this, and therefore all those connections need to break before I go back there and give them my dollars. So what do we think? Is this... a good or bad thing that Chick-fil-A is bending under the will of people?
Well, going back to the whole idea of people have said, I'm going to show with my money, I'm going to support causes that mm-hmm. I support. And so in a way, I look at this as like a good thing because it has shifted the mindset of a corporation. Is it because of money or is it because this is truly how they feel and how they want to support mm-hmm. People? I don't know the answer to that. But I do think that part is good, that it has shown that we really do have control as American consumers as to where we buy our products, whatever they are, food, clothes, whatever, mm-hmm. and we can show support that way. And companies can do things like that.
Yeah, I think, no one's trying to say any one of these executives from Chick-fil-A can individually support whatever organizations they want.
Right.
Sure.
And there probably are people who would say, like, I know that such and such executive is donating to whatever, and so I'm not going to support that.
I think that's definitely a guarantee.
That's fine. You can do that. But I think the larger argument that people are trying to make is, as a corporation, what do you want to stand for? Mm-hmm. And how a corporation spends its money, in the same way that we would say in a stewardship sermon, right? Mm-hmm. We're finishing mm-hmm. up stewardship month here at Lord of Life, and we tell people all the time how you spend your money affects what you value.
Yeah.
If you want to know what's most important to you, look at your checkbook and see mm-hmm. where your money's going. And so in the same way, how a corporation is spending its money reflects what's of value to them. And so if this is something, if organizations that are connected with a certain belief are of value to them, then you have to ask yourself, what does that mean about mm-hmm. the beliefs that that organization holds? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a worthwhile consideration to make. How are we spending our money? And are we spending our money at places that are in line with our own faith values? And, mm-hmm. I think that's a worthy discussion to have, too. Because I don't want to spend money at a place that I know funds, child slavery or, mass genocide somewhere else, mm-hmm. right? I don't want to be funding that indirectly. Now, I probably am unknowingly, right. But to knowingly do that, I think would be
sure. tough. Yeah, I think this is interesting. So let's talk a little bit about Salvation Army and FCA, because sure. probably many of our listeners and many of people are saying, like, well, I don't really know much about how even donating these things would be bad.
Sure.
Most of our connection to the Salvation Army is either a thrift store or the guys outside of grocery stores mm-hmm. ringing a bell mm-hmm. trying to raise money. So Salvation Army is not a charity; it's actually a denomination of a church in the United States. So mm-hmm. it is a church that runs a charity mm-hmm. Known as the Salvation Army. And so they do a lot of good things in the world. Mm-hmm. We can say that's undeniable. They do a lot of good things for those experiencing homelessness, hunger, poverty, a lot of good things. They also have some questionable practices. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, one of their homeless centers rejected a trans woman from coming into a woman's only center. That woman froze to death outside of the center. Because they said, this is a woman's only center. You're not biologically or birthed a woman. You can't come in here. And that person froze to death. Mm. They do have some history of kind of doing these things that were being against LGBTQ people. I mean, this mm-hmm. is a novel thing. Again, they don't necessarily will not serve somebody who's gay or lesbian or trans at their thrift stores, or even the resources won't necessarily not go to those places, but they can use those things as discriminatory practices.
Mm-hmm.
And like the case that was mentioned. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes does ask leaders to sign a purity statement committing to avoid homosexual activity and sex outside of marriage. So this is Fellowship of Christian Athletes is kind of like a high school thing. Mm-hmm. You're an athlete.
It's actually college.
College and high school, I think.
I've only ever heard of it in college. So
it exists in both.
Okay.
You're an athlete. You're a Christian. You sign a purity pledge to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's kind of like a group that kind of meets, bonded over their athleticism and their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So Chick-fil-A has been a supporter of these things. According to this, they gave, let me find this right here, $165 million to Fellowship of Christian, $1.65 million.
Whoa, I was going to say.
To Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
$165 million.
And just over $100,000 to the Salvation Army in 2018. So, not nothing.
Yeah.
Obviously a little bit more to one than the other. So this is probably, again, things that have probably maybe did some good things, but have these more questionable aspects of their practices, especially in the year 2019 versus mm-hmm. the year 2009 or 1999 mm-hmm. or if we keep going back. I'm sure there are a lot of kids who were involved in Fellowship of Christian Athletes that's faith was enriched, mm-hmm. that by being involved in that helped them stay focused on Christ in the midst of the pressures of high school or college and being mm-hmm. a student athlete. There's a lot of people who have been beautifully touched by the Salvation Army, but this is the world is shifting, and mm-hmm. I think Chick-fil-A is trying to shift with that world. Mm-hmm. So Chick-fil-A has experienced some backlash from this.
From stopping their funding?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're getting backlash from the backlash.
Yeah, so first they had backlash from the left, and now we're getting a little backlash from the right.
Because they caved.
Because they caved, yes. Conservative politician, commentator Mike Huckabee.
Excellent. Former presidential candidate.
Former presidential candidate and governor of Arkansas?
Sounds right.
Yeah, why not? Organized and Christian pastor.
Yeah, yep.
Organized a campaign. He organized a campaign to support Chick-fil-A back in 2012 when the first round of backlash happened.
When he was running for president.
Yes. Today, this is what he tweeted. Today, Chick-fil-A betrayed loyal customers for cash. I regret believing that they would stay true to their convictions because of founder Truett Cathy. Sad.
And he's saying that Truett is behind this, or Truett's not behind it?
Truett is dead.
Oh, okay. So, I was not understanding what he was trying to say in this tweet.
But is the founder of Chick-fil-A, and set it up as a Christian company, closed on Sundays, probably.
And now it's changing, so it's not holding true to what Truett Cathy's idea was when he founded it.
I think the fact that Truett's last name is Cathy is what was throwing me off. I was perplexed by that.
Not his name is Truett.
Whatever. We all have our cross to bear.
And columnist Rob Dreyer wrote, I love Chick-fil-A, but it's going to be a while before I go there again. This is nothing but gutless surrender. All right, so now we got a little bit of backlash to Chick-fil-A for caving to the liberal left.
These are also people who say that businesses need to, businesses drive America, right? And mm-hmm. so if you want businesses to drive America, businesses need to make decisions that
sure.
are in line with profit margins. So, I get what they're trying to say. I disagree with both of them, but I get what they're trying to say, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I think this is a little bit of a, hey, it was wrong when people, back in 2012, boycotted and protested Chick-fil-A, but it's okay for me to do that now a little bit. It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Because now they're not doing the things I want them to do. It's certainly silly. All right, let's move on. All right, Ohio.
My home state. Go
Bucks. Pasadena's home state.
OH. Ohio, OH, Ohio. That's
a thing.
That's a cheer that you do. Yikes. Well, wherever you are, Patrick, you just yell OH and somebody in the crowd will probably respond.
You do your hands like that too?
Yeah, you do the O and the H, yeah.
Okay.
And then this
is an audio podcast. Nobody knows what he's doing with his hands.
I'm pretty sure people can figure out what an O looks like that you make with your arms. So you can
it's like YMCA, but
yeah,
Ohio.
But Ohio, mm-hmm. yes.
Or
also, our state song is Hang on Sloopy, and we spell Ohio in the middle of it. State bird, cardinal, state flower, the carnation. 8 presidents have come from the state of Ohio.
Oh, look at that. That's pretty good.
Dayton, Ohio is the birthplace of aviation, home of the Wright brothers. What else do you
want to know? What else is happening in Ohio?
The fact that you can turn a key in your car and start your engine, Charles F. Kettering.
Oh, well, now most cars are going keyless, so...
Well, yeah, that's,
forget you, Ohio.
But hey, for the last, 80 Throwing years, you could have been cranking a thing that was going to snap back and break your leg every time you did it, so, it's...
Okay.
Well, the Ohio
You're
House...
You're welcome, world.
The
You're
Ohio
welcome.
House passes bill allowing student answers to be scientifically wrong...
Excellent.
...due to religion.
Okay.
So, a few weeks ago, the Ohio House...
See, I'm gone for a couple of years. The whole state just... goes up.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Passed the Student Religious Liberties Act. Under the law, students can't be penalized if their work is scientifically wrong as long as the reasoning is because of their religious beliefs.
So now any kid can write on a test, here's what I think of this science and it's because of my religion and it's not allowed to be wrong?
So this is tough because I've been trying to do a lot of research on this. So what does this mean?
Sure.
And not a lot of people really seem to know.
Right.
Or it's not really shown like this is how it's supposed to look. But a lot of people I think are saying because it's unclear, this is going to create potentially a lot of problems.
Like an entire generation that doesn't know the difference between science and faith. Yep, that would be great.
Yeah, well, or does it even mean that?
Yeah.
Or is it something else? It has not yet passed the the Senate, the state Senate, yet.
Okay. But, so it's not yet a bill.
But it's probably going to. All the Republicans in the Ohio House voted yes on it. The state Senate is dominantly controlled by Republicans. It will probably pass.
I think Ohio has a Republican governor currently.
Okay.
I believe.
So
I'd have to look at it.
It sounds like, on surface, right, like this could be like on your evolution test in high school.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
You could write the Earth is 6,000 years old, God created mankind, we did not evolve, a series of things into the species that we are today, and they would not be able to give you incorrect answers to those things.
But then in theory, you should also be able to write down whatever Scientology believes about the world.
For
and
sure.
They would not be allowed to deduct that either. Or you could write down whatever the creation myth is behind Hinduism. Or take your pick, and they wouldn't be allowed to deduct any of that as wrong answers. So basically, you can write whatever you want and say, based on my religious convictions at the beginning, and they can't.
So then why do you even teach it?
That's a great question. Again, if that's what this is trying to get at, and if this is what this is going to be used at, but if this is passed, and say I do write down, like, the Earth is 6,000 years old in a science test, and the teacher marks it wrong, what happens now if there's a lawsuit involved, of like, hey, Student Religious Liberties Act, can't be penalized if my reasoning is for religious beliefs. Or, I have my religious understanding is like the Greek myths of old, and the world came into being through battle of the Titans, or things like this, or the great Odin blew his horn, and here we are. I mean, like, there's obviously a lot of things that can be used.
This is one of those laws that's just like destined for the Supreme Court. It's as if it was written with the intention of challenging something up to the Supreme Court, because it's just
and surely I'm sure scientists, teachers, potentially in Ohio can write, like, according to the theory of evolution, ... followed by the question, and then you can't say your religious beliefs because it's directly about that.
Right.
But I do think that that creates a weird sentiment there that I don't think you really need to wade into.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what this really is getting Christian students beyond...
It's putting Jesus back in schools.
Because
Jesus hasn't been allowed in schools for the last couple of years. I don't know if you know this. There's a door, and when you cross that door, Jesus stops walking with you. And so Jesus waves goodbye at the curb, like your parents on the first day of kindergarten.
Okay.
Waves goodbye. You go into the school, and you're all on your own. And Jesus can't cross. It's crazy. Sure. God's omnipotent, but cannot go into that building. I haven't figured it out yet myself.
I smuggled Jesus in.
You smuggled Jesus in my pocket.
I've got him hiding in the locker.
So I get frustrated about this because I don't know. It's just a frustrating topic. But I mean, here's the thing. Faith and science do not have to compete with one another.
Right.
Sure.
And they were never intended to compete with one another. And this notion that by educating our children about scientific realities that have been tested and proven over and over and over again, our notion that somehow that diminishes our faith in a God who is so grand that God can create an entire universe, send a son to redeem us from sin, as if learning about science prevents me from having that, is just insanity.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot fathom how we come to this point.
Uh-huh.
And I've been pretty tame about a lot of things that I cannot fathom on this podcast. And this is...
Okay.
This is letting me go. I've run out of patience for this particular argument. I'm just, there is nothing about a scientific understanding of evolution that prevents me from understanding how God is at work in the world alongside of that.
Sure.
These two things are not mutually exclusive.
Well, I think I would certainly agree with you as well.
I know you guys would agree with me. You're not the ones passing a law in Ohio.
Look, it's all your friends back home.
I got some calls to make.
Yeah. So what does the kid who learns in church and home that God has created the world in a literal six-day creation, what are they supposed to do when they walk into a science classroom and their science teacher tells them that, what they've learned in home and church is not true?
You're supposed to understand that what you're learning in the classroom is what you learn in the classroom.
Yeah.
If for that kid, that's the problem. If you can't hold those two things together, then understand that there's an answer that you give on this test, and there's an answer that you have in your home life.
Yeah.
Because that's what people of other faiths have had to do for years in the United States.
Sure.
At any point in history, we've talked about how what we would consider to be the American movement has always been guided by a Christian understanding. Since, mm-hmm. you know, the founding of the United States, it's been guided by a Christian understanding of things. And so people who have, of other faiths who have been living in our country have been having to hold these things separate for years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this is not gonna go good for the state of Ohio. I think there's gonna be a lot of lawsuits. I think there's gonna be a lot of kids out there who are just gonna write down craziness on tests, whether they be legitimately backed by their religious beliefs or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it is gonna mire down the system in Ohio if this passes, and it's not going to get Christians really what they want.
And it's going to put the state in the position of defining religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Which is exactly mm-hmm. what the state is not supposed to do.
Yeah. And I also think this is how you're not just going to get atheists looking at this. This is an anti-theists are going to be looking at this. So it's not just like people who don't believe in God, but people who are anti-religion are going to be looking at this and being like, those backwoods Christians are coming in here and refusing to even like line up, you know, refusing to even come into schools and being able to sit and learn along with their classmates, mm-hmm. that they have to have it special for them. And I think that it's not going to go good, I don't think. I don't think that this is really anything that the people who wrote and voted on this bill, I just don't think that they're really seeing what this is going to do for them. Yeah. Well, let's move on and let's talk about more science.
All right. As long as we're on the topic, let's just keep hopped up on whatever we got going today.
Are you science people? Do you like science?
I like science. I think science is really interesting. I think it's fascinating. I think I learn a lot about God by learning about science.
Oh. Hmm. I haven't really learned about science in really years.
I'm reliving science right now with our oldest, because he's old enough now. They're starting to do experiments and cool things, and so it's like, oh, this is kind of fun.
There's a science thing that I learned about a while back about how trees communicate through their root systems over hundreds of miles.
Really?
Over hundreds of miles, trees communicate with one another through root systems, and things like this that people are discovering. Like, how can this not point us back to a benevolent creator that's behind it? Like,
what are they saying?
How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. You know, basic text message script, you know, LOL.
Twig message.
Yeah. Have you been woke lately?
So they're all like on their social media.
Yeah, they're on their own I don't know what the tree version of Twitter would be.
Rooter.
Yeah, Rooter. Roto-Rooter. No, wait, that's something else.
Yeah. Well, the birds are tweeting, you know, they're rooting in the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Do they have hashtags?
Probably.
Yeah. Right.
Hashtag hash browns.
All right, so I've been saving this for a couple weeks, and this seemed like a good time to pull this out.
Good.
Do you guys know who Greta Thunberg is? You remember this person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I've been saying her name wrong for a long time.
But really, what have you been saying?
I thought it was Thornburg.
It's not Thornburg.
Yeah, so I've been saying it wrong. That's what it is.
What is it, Thunberg?
First, I was like, maybe
Thunderbird.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong, but it's definitely not Thornburg.
It's from another country. Maybe it is
Thornburg. We both could be wrong, but you certainly are.
All right.
So she is a 16-year-old mm-hmm. Climate change activist from Norway. And recently, back in September, was at the United Nations Council, presented on climate change activism for the world, and gave her vision there. Well, Pastor Robert Jeffers, mm-hmm. who's from Dallas, he's an
great
evangelical
name.
Guy. Robert Jeffers.
Yeah. Pastor Jeffers.
Who serves on the White House Faith Initiative and on President Trump's Evangelical Advisory Board.
Excellent.
Has some words for young climate activist Greta. So he appeared on a Fox radio show to discuss this thing. He said, not only is climate change an imaginary crisis, and that President Trump should have skipped that summit, which he did, he pivoted to talk about this girl and said, next time she worries about global warming, just look at a rainbow. And somebody needs to read to poor Greta Genesis chapter 9. The rainbow is God's promise that the polar ice caps aren't going to melt and flood the world again. All righty. There we go. What do you think? Do you think Greta's going to go to sleep peacefully tonight, you know, with the rainbow above her?
I do think Greta is going to go to sleep with a rainbow above her, because I believe that God's grace is, you know, sufficient in Greta's life as it is anyone else's. I don't think that this is an appropriate response to the realities of climate change.
Yeah.
You know, we can discuss, there's a lot of ways in which we can discuss what climate change means, what its implications are, its best ways to be addressed. Sure, we can talk about all of that. But to point to a story in any story in the Bible, particularly the story of Noah, and to say, don't worry, the ice caps aren't going to melt because God promised never to flood the world again, I think is a gross misunderstanding of the purpose of that story and of the way that God works in our world. Because in Genesis 1 and 2, we humans are called to be stewards of the earth.
You bet.
And at this point, the evidence seems to be suggesting that if the ice caps are melting at a faster than normal rate, a piece of that is our lack of stewarding these resources.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that definitely comes from it. And God, you know, even in the retelling of the story, even if you're like, I 100% believe the Noah story is 100% factual, God has promised not to flood the earth again, that does not mean that mankind cannot do things to flood the earth again.
Yeah. You know, like, God's not going to do it.
But yeah, God is saying, I am not using my divine intervention to make this happen. Right. But that doesn't mean God won't let it happen because of our inability to do those things.
And, you know, no climatologists think that the entire earth is going to end up underwater. Yeah. We do think that places like Miami or remote islands out in the Pacific, they might end up underwater because they're only a couple feet above water to start with. We're not talking about, you know, the Rocky Mountains being covered 15,000 feet in the air.
Sure. Where's the Rockies, Greta?
Yeah. And Pastor Jeffers. You can both go to the Rockies.
I would not want to wish that on this poor girl. Yeah.
I don't get, like, where do we, as Christians, right? If we're people of faith, seeking to follow a God that we believe loves us and wants us to use our gifts for the best of the world in which we live, how do we advance that cause by telling a 16-year-old girl that something they're passionate about does not matter and that God promised not to do it, so sit down and shut up? I guess he didn't say sit down and shut up. I'm putting those words in his mouth, but the implication of his words seems to be sit down and shut up, at least to me as I read that.
Yeah.
And I don't see how that advances our cause. Like, even if our cause is to get people to believe in the literal nature of Scripture, which is personally not my cause as a pastor, right? But if that's your cause, that you need everybody in the world to believe the Bible to be literally true, how is this advancing that cause?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
I want Pastor Jeffers to answer my question. I'm going to wait. I'm not talking anymore.
Let's call him up. I don't have his number on my phone book here. So,
but anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I do not have the emotional or physical capacity to remain silent for that long. So we'll just admit that was an empty threat.
Sure. But we'll, you know, Dallas isn't that far away. We can drive up there.
There you go.
We can take the podcast on the road.
There you go.
Ambush podcasting.
Yes. I love it. Just show up with a microphone outside.
Pastor Jeffers. Door. Yes. What do you think about this?
We know what he thinks about it. He said it. He tweeted it. Yes. It's right there.
This isn't a tweet. He's on a radio show.
I'm sorry. I thought he tweeted.
Yeah, I am with you here. I think it's undeniable human beings have a call by God to care for creation. Mm-hmm. This is laid out at the very beginning of Scripture. That's part of our responsibility, is to be caretakers of this. And I think if you even look at the creation story, I think it's pointing us that if mankind, you know, even in the story, lived in a perfect society, we would get better in that society. We would make the garden bigger and better as it went along. That's the point. It's not just like a hippie commune in the nature walking around naked. It's like building bigger and better things to point us in a greater connection with our God. And so here saying like that because, I don't know if it's politics, if it's the connection to a corporation, but like climate change is just an imaginary crisis. And that kind of says like, well, our responsibility to be caretakers for the earth just does not exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that is completely wrong. I just do not get this idea of like, even if you think the polar ice caps aren't going to melt, even if you think we're not at the precipice of like a climate apocalypse, you have to say, because of my faith in God, especially if you're a Christian, because of my faith in God, we have an obligation to care for creation. And anything that is damaging nature around me, we need to address. We need to take a look at. Mm-hmm. We need to say Christians should be at the forefront of recycling because it's saying like that's the best way to care for my environment. Mm-hmm. Christians should be at the forefront of preservation because we're caring for the creation. If we say God made these animals and they're going extinct because of our actions, we need to stop our actions because we value what God has created. Mm-hmm. And I do not get the idea that the more conservative Christians out there seem to have abandoned this thought process or pushed it to the back burner. And I don't quite get it. I mean, I get it. It's because it's they're connected to a party that does not support these things. Mm-hmm. And they've confused their faith and the party, and they've blurred too close together. Mm-hmm. That's my personal opinion. But Christians should be the ones ultimately saying, if there are people and places out there affected by this earth, and we are affecting this earth through our actions, we need to step in and make sure this is fixed.
Yeah.
The radio show host Starnes agreed with Jeffers, commenting, "The whole global warming, tree-hugging fiasco, again, there's nothing to it. As you point out, they might as well hold a commission on the Tooth Fairy or Bigfoot or Sasquatch." I think what's also hard for me about this is, even if you thought, okay, poor Greta, she's been misled, there's nothing to this, people have used this idea of, like, imaginary God to Christians, mm-hmm. and for Christians to turn around and just throw that back on other people so severely or so easily makes me just sad for them. We've experienced sometimes people, anti-theists, like we mentioned earlier, coming out and being like, oh God, he's just, you're believing in like a tooth fairy or Bigfoot. Yep. It's the same story. It's all made up. It's all BS. And then here we have Christians who've experienced this, who've felt this in our world, who've said, like, this has been my experience with people, and are so willing to go back and throw it back on somebody else. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, like, hey, I disagree with this, that the climate change is as big a deal, and here's the evidence and scientific fact I'm pointing to, which, you know, may or may not be true. But to say, like, your belief system is like believing in the tooth fairy is just so rude. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. like, it's a rude statement. Mm-hmm. And makes me sad. Not for Greta, but for them. Any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, I just think it's disheartening. As a mom with kids who I hope are passionate about something when they get older, or even now, whatever it is, I don't ever want them belittled. Like, you know, just that's how that came across. Was just like belittling. Like,
and she's,
don't let it go, whatever, who cares?
She's 16. I mean, she's a kid.
Right, right. And that concerns me more than the whatever they're talking about, more than the actual topic.
Yeah.
It's the way we're reacting to each other.
Well, there you go. Science.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Advent.
Yeah, happy Advent.
Welcome to Advent, everyone.
Here we are. You can start decorating your houses, decorating your trees.
Light your candles.
Don't listen to Christmas music while you do that, right?
That's right.
Listen to Advent music.
Hey, what you do in your own home is between you and your family in the church. We have a sense of preparing ourselves for what is to come. So we don't need to have this argument. We had this argument last year. We don't need to have this argument again.
Where can you find us?
Hey, if you liked what you heard on the podcast today, you can find Beyond Sunday Podcast wherever fine podcasts are curated for your benefit. And we hope that you will take the time to leave us a message on our website, beyondsundaypodcast.com. Send us an email at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. Ooh. And of course, check us out on the Facebook.
We're on the Facebook.
On the book face. Yeah.
Send your roots on over.
get us your best tree hashtags. If you were a tree and you wanted to talk about your experience, what would your hashtag be?
Oh, I like it.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good one.
Oh, you're like the man of puns.
I know. I'm a little sick though, so it's like kind of what's coming up.
Yeah. All right. Great talk. So
I'm going to edit in a good one. All right here. That's everyone laughing at how good that was.
All right, everybody. Have a great Advent. We'll see you next week.
All right, bye.